Mind every Friday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. right here on WGUN 1010 a.m. Atlanta.
Broadcasting 50,000 watts while serving Tucker, Decatur, and Atlanta. WGUN 1010 a.m., where God unites nations.
Welcome to the Soulful Mind Radio Program. I'm Dr. Patrick Ware, and it's a beautiful Friday afternoon in Atlanta, Georgia. A beautiful May Friday afternoon. We're here on Fridays from 2 to 2:30. We'll remind you that the program contents, both program notes as well as prior recordings, are available on the program website at www.thesoulfulmind.com. And you can, of course, always log on to www.wgunradio.com and click Listen Live anywhere where you have a computer with sound. Good news and bad news. The good news is that the Soulful Mind continues. The bad news is that due to my schedule and too many obligations beginning today, the next program is going to be every first Friday of the month at 2 o'clock from 2 to 2:30, and the next program will be on June the 1st on Friday. The good news also is that today we have Dr. Bonnie Kellen, who is a Manhattan, New York City career counseling psychologist, who's going to be on the program with me via remote control kind of thing, and we're going to be talking about careers and people and contentment and dissatisfaction. But first, a few housekeeping chores. We will have today, I think, over a century of living experience, reminding you that what if this half hour has the ability to literally change your life and lead you to what you've been seeking all of your life? A full heart. It's free, and it's relatively easy once you start. Again, the program is only the expression of the presenters. It does not intend to in any way comment on other organizations, be they religious or be they professional. Our family continues to grow with people responding with emails and calls, and we're listing those on the website by first name at least. They are letting us know that they're listening, taking notes, and many times asking even provocative questions. We hope that you are aware that the single purpose of this program is to assist you in a full discovery of God's sacred gift of life and soul, and that your discovery of how to accept that gift fully is the only barrier to experiencing God's love and life to the fullest. Everyone who has been willing to pursue this program has reported a fuller and more rich and wonderful relationship with themselves, their God, and all those they know. Yes, life in all of its glory. This approach, while incredibly simple, is indeed profound and is one of the ways the human heart can be open to accept life fully and completely. It is our message that the acceptance of God's gifts as they are offered is the central human challenge. What we have here is a vehicle that is proven to assist you in doing just that. So how about it, folks? Are you out there? Are you listening? We're at 770-491-7748. Are you aware that it is very important to us and the other listeners that you let us know what you're thinking and feeling? Hopefully you're pursuing your intensity monitors. The directions of that exercise are on the program website, thesoulfulmind.com. I'll remind you that after any feeling, any size, any quality, any time, if you simply pause and ask yourself the question, and how intense was that, allowing yourself to register on a scale of 0 to 10, where 0 is no intensity at all and 10 is the most intense feeling you could ever imagine having, if you allow that feeling to tell you where it fits on that spectrum, the moment that registers, you then continue on with your day. And we have listener comments about the impacts of doing that on people's lives, and it's rather incredible. An opening prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we humbly ask for your blessing and direction in this ministry. Open our hearts and ears that we may hear, and have our hearts and minds guided that we may be heard by those of you who are listening who will benefit from your gifts. And also another reminder that we do, as I said, have all of the past programs on the website. Thank you to Miss Jenny, our webmaster, who's doing a magnificent job with that regard. The program today, as I said, is going to be about careers, and I'm hoping that Dr. Kellen is on the line. Dr. Kellen, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Well, thank you for calling, and thank you for sharing your valuable time with us.
Oh, it's a great pleasure. Thank you for asking me.
Well, since you and I met a few months ago, we talked a lot, and my sense is that you really have a lot to offer in terms of one of the most important things that people decide and pursue, and that is how they spend their workday. I will just add parenthetically that Dr. Kellen's credentials are quite impressive. They will be posted in the program notes on the website, as well as contact information for her. As I understand it, she's available for consultation professionally for direct face-to-face exchanges for a professional fee. But today she's kindly giving us her time and her expertise, and so thank you again. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your practice, and what do you do?
Well, I basically do clinical career counseling, and I just found that you know, when people are confused about their career, it's just really, you know, being in self-doubt and torment, and people are usually stuck with sort of having one foot on the brake and one foot on the gas, and it's just a very difficult place to be because you don't end up going anywhere. So what I do is a pretty comprehensive assessment, 6 or 7 sessions with a lot of take-home tests and in person, where we try to come up with a comprehensive profile of what the best fit options are for people that they could explore, and also some kind of developmental plan where they could work on whatever, you know, personality areas that, you know, when strengthened, would help them grow and get their goals.
And the spectrum of folks that you serve, would they be only professionals, or would it be across the board in terms of the kinds of involvement that the people might have with companies or organizations or even small businesses?
I see everybody from, you know, kids in their 20s, occasionally a high school student, all the way to people who are senior executives.
Wow.
You know, just generally people who feel that they haven't reached their potential, you know, they hate their job, and they want to make a change, and they don't know what to do. And, you know, this is just very common for all kinds of people.
Well, you
at all levels.
You're really talking about something that I see every day in my clinical practice here in Duluth as a child psychiatrist, the level of discontent that's just ever-present across the board. What was it, Studs Terkel, that wrote the book Working in the 80s? My recollection was it was over 80% of across-the-board worker sample that he examined were significantly displeased by what they did in their workaday life.
Well, it's often for people to feel stuck or trapped, and then they feel fear and anger, and, you know, just that whole cycle just over time doesn't get you anywhere.
Well, I think that certainly that's true in their lives in general. When I see people who make it to my office, and I have to add that I think that dissatisfaction or lack of joy and harmony is certainly something I see across the board. So you and I discussed the first time the possibility of you coming on the program and are looking at specifically the what people do and how you help them with their career experience, it just felt like a fit. in terms of the similarities with the, my practice as well as what you do in helping people identify that. One question that comes to my mind would be what perhaps what we should do is talk a little bit about what are the initial search criteria or relevant variables that you think of when someone says, I'm unhappy. You know, I'm unhappy with my work.
Right. Well, I guess the question is, you know, is it the specific work they're doing? Is it where they work? Is it their specifically the people they work with? I mean, is it just a mismatch where they're not using their interests, their values, or their ability, or their personality just isn't being expressed? Or is it just, you know, where they work? You know, it's just a dysfunctional work culture.
Can you think of, and I'm putting you on the spot, so you can
yes.
say no. Can you, I think of concrete examples sometimes when trying to get points across to people, and, you know, they tell us that the average listener is a lady who's in her mid-30s and she's on her way to get the kids at daycare, who's juggling home and family and marital relationship and money and, you know, looking for something better, something different. Can we come up with a kind of generic idea of someone that you've worked with that came in with that kind of a thing, and after the evaluation, you know, the process and the nature and the direction and what was offered and how you saw the outcome?
Okay, well, I think there are a lot of people like that. You know, because, you know, there's before you have children, there's when you have children, and then there's later. I mean, life is long. So, you know, one has to have a short-term, mid-length, and a long-term perspective that, you know, what do you do right there when you're juggling 9,000 things and you have no money and everybody else looks like they're doing great and you're doing terrible? So, you know, to me, the first thing I would do is start with some kind of assessment, and I think they exist online. They probably exist in your public libraries, and perhaps your local librarian can help you with that, or else they can get it, because I would think they should have it.
What would they put in their Google search engine?
Well, maybe even like a self-directed search or career counseling or career self-assessment.
Just career counseling, career self-assessment.
Yeah, maybe even like the self-directed search. They could find that, because I think it's good. It gives you most people, when asked about themselves, you know, really can only talk for 20 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives you a much broader picture of yourself, so you could describe what your skills are, your interests, your values, and maybe have, you know, a number of more options to explore than, you know, you might think just what you see. You know, you might see nurse, teacher. You know, there might be 100 other occupations you never thought about.
Well, you know, in my world of systems, you know, an individual is a system, a couple is a system, a family is a system. When I think about looking at a system and understanding it, the first step for me is to begin thinking about the issue. And so I guess what I would suggest to the listener is, how many of you out there have really asked yourself, am I happy, contented with what I do at my work? How happy am I? You know, am I, is this as good as it's going to get, kind of thing? And then secondarily begin looking at the issues of, okay, what are the elements that I like and what are the elements that I don't like about the work, the place, you know, the things that you just mentioned? Because I think there are a lot of folks, and I'll have to say that I'm one of them, or have been hopefully more in the past than the present. When something feels overwhelming, I just simply tend to push it out of my mind and not think about it. And I think that gets in the way of problem solution.
Well, I think also, instead of thinking of a job title, I think people don't define themselves that way. I mean, the world is so changed in that people have two or three careers in their lifetime. You know, some of the younger kids are having like 10 jobs before they're 30.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this is the way the world is. There's no more security in jobs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So instead of thinking of yourself as like, a job title to think of yourself as like, I need to have 10 or 15 skills that define me or that I can enjoy and that I can use in different places. And it's easy to just get like one skill at a time. If you're home with your kids, you may just add a few skills.
Although, I was just going to say that although the conversation I had with a mother recently, as I was listening to what she did, thinking about this program and attempting to divide the skills that I heard her tell me she was using daily, that, you know, a woman who's running a family quite often is handling the finances and the scheduling, and I mean, she's really doing corporate executive stuff.
Right.
I think that's, by the way, I'll remind the listener again, we're 770-491-7748. So Dr. Kellen is here for another 15 minutes if we have anybody who's interested in asking her a question related to career satisfaction and self-development and assessment kinds of things.
Right. But that woman could still learn the computer, you know, even if they don't have one in their home, they can go to their library. I think, you know, with the internet and distance learning and all that, there's so much more opportunity than there ever was before to, you know, add to your repertoire.
What I tell folks about learning is that I think that the most important thing is to be aware of the process of learning, and that the initial experience of, oh my goodness, I could never do that, is absolutely the most common response to an undeveloped ability or an unacquired ability. That's just step one, is feeling like you can't, or that it's bigger than you are, or that it's going to take more. And, you know, it's something that those of us who have been in long-term learning programs are aware that you really take it idea by idea.
Right. Well, we would say, you know, just forget about self-confidence. It's not even important. You get confident after you do something, not before.
I think that's so important, you know. I think there are people out there who think, gee, I've only got a high school education, you know. And I met a woman not long ago who only had a high school education, and she's running and directing and providing the backbone for an incredibly complex investment company. You know, if you want to be a brain surgeon, the path to becoming a brain surgeon or even a nuclear physicist is simply one lengthy vocabulary lesson. It's an idea bank. And if you can understand, I teach people how to play chess, usually youth in my practice. And I have people look at me and say, well, I could never play chess. And my response is, well, you know, there are six different players on the chessboard. It takes me less than 5 minutes to teach an average ability 5-year-old what those six things are. And after one learns those things, then the ability to play chess is just one sequential step after another, where you pick up one more idea, one idea at a time. And I don't know many people who really can't handle that if they will just stay with it. That's the key, is the perseverance. And, of course, what we're talking about today, which is how do you develop the direction?
Yeah,
are there things?
It helps to have direction.
I'm sorry?
It helps to have direction, because then you feel like it adds up to something, or else it just feels like it disappears.
I think that's so true. A couple of thoughts I had as I was thinking about this, and you can correct me, because I'm coming from a lay perspective, but I think about, you know, people asking themselves about their relationship with themselves. Of course, that's a commercial on the program here for, are you doing your intensity monitors and are you progressing in your ability to accept your heart without judgment? And that it is our position, that, my experience, that as a person does that, that the decisions and directions and the identification of those things in your life that are real genuine sources of opportunity to express yourself meaningfully really begin to kind of just present themselves to you. And so it's first self, and then, you know, what are the things that you've done in your life that you truly enjoyed? That's sort of the way my mind works. Now, that's a very informal lay assessment, I guess, if you will.
Well, we're doing our intensity monitors here, too, and everybody really likes it.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that right? Well, thank you. That's good to know. Maybe we ought to talk off the mic at some point. But it certainly does change people's lives, and you know, it really opens the doorway to not missing the butterfly on the jonquil. It really does. And, you know, relationships are between people are being revitalized. And as you and I talked a while back, it really does introduce the substance of love into an individual's life in a way that the part that I think that's really phenomenal, and I'll get back to the subject at hand in a second, but it's hard for me not to talk about this. The part that is really phenomenal is that the investment in things and the investment in conflict, guilt, caretaking, even addictive behaviors, just simply begin to drift away on their own. And that which is you is, and that which is not you just simply drifts away. And so the part globally, I think, that has the most profound potential, we live in a world that is unsafe, I think. We live in a world where anger and acquisition of things and power is really at the heart, in my experience, of much of our global political difficulties. And, you know, when I see people who are doing the intensity monitors and are making peace with their own hearts, they everyone describe how they just simply don't experience conflict with other people. Somebody may be mad at them, but they don't react to it. They're just aware that, you know, someone is upset with them, but it's not anything like their prior vulnerability. So back to the subject.
Oh, yeah, I would say two things. Like, people are always stuck. They think the resume is going to be the end-all, and it really isn't. I mean, I would just, you know, if it's difficult for you, it's not even that important, because most opportunities are gotten through people who know people who know people. And networking is really not asking for favors, but really what you could do for people. And, you know, if you approach it that way, you're able to extend your network and get to know other people and be helpful to other people. It's much less threatening way to get out there.
I have always, I think I shared with you earlier that perhaps the most valuable things that I have learned in my career as a professional have come from personal communications with peers who have just off the cuff said, oh, by the way, did you know such and such? Or I've asked them questions that I really was interested in answers to, things that were not a part of the curricula at Emory when I was a medical student or a psychiatric resident or even a child psychiatric fellow. Emory did a fine job of teaching me the basics, but they really didn't teach me much about the business of medicine. And, you know, I guess you and I are really talking about how does one interface with the business world and how do you find a comfortable place for you to be all that you are out there in a way that can be productive for you and your family.
I would just say one thing else that's so important that people don't have, and that is how to, you know, in any job you're in, you could always create and seize opportunities, but people are afraid to ask for them, mm-hmm. and they really, you know, need to learn negotiating skills, and there's many books on that, and, you know, really how to get your agenda across in everyday life is just a very important work skill, and people aren't taught it.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Two stories come to my mind, which I think are on point with a couple of things that we're talking about. The networking issue, you know, it just go out and meet people and shake their hands and listen to them and make eye contact with them and ask them what do they need. I had the privilege of working with a very bright 17-year-old about 10 years ago, and he told me the following story that, you know, during his first couple of years of high school, he had helped his older brother put some kind of a stereo in his brother's car, and he developed an interest in that kind of thing. And so he learned how to put them in, and he would do that for people that he met in high school. And he was good at it. He got very good at installing these stereo systems, and those were the years when people were really into big speakers and complex stereo equipment. I think they still do that. And he got very good with the electronics. And had his own business, had a business card, and was doing that. And finally one day he said, you know, I think I want a job. And he went to Sears, and he filled out an application to be a salesman in their electronics department. And he went home and waited a couple of days, and he didn't hear anything. So he went back day 3, day 4, went to the personnel office and asked the lady where was his application and what was happening with it. And as he was standing there talking to her, the department head came by and asked if he could help, and he told him he was there to follow up on his job application. And he said, well, come in and let's chat. And so they did, and this 17-year-old was able to land a job as a Sears electronics salesman simply by virtue of, A, his intelligence, B, his willingness to go and meet them face-to-face and let them see him, which was a point I think you made earlier of getting out there and really finding out what do people need. And, you know, as you listen to what they're looking for, you know, you really do have an idea about whether or not you can provide that on your own. On your own. The other story that I think illustrates one of the points that you made, Dr. Kellen, is I was in a phone conversation earlier this week with a man who sounded to be in his mid-30s. I was seeking some technical assistance for a major well-known financial software package. And we were talking, and he was helping me go through the steps of how to do X, Y, and Z with accounts that I had and an account that I had. And we were talking, and he said, well, you know, I didn't know much about computers until 2 years ago. I said, you're kidding me. He said, no. He said, I was doing X, Y, and Z work, and he said, I decided that the market was such that I really, if I got into learning about computers and software, that I would have more choices in my city for employment. So thinking out of the box and being aware of what the market has available and being aware that, you know, you can learn anything if you just stick with it. Mm-hmm. And if you listen to what people are saying and what the market is asking for, I think there's, while doing your own personal work, I think there's a great opportunity for people to enhance, broaden, and develop their life.
Yes.
So how long does it take to go through an extensive evaluation like you described, Dr. Kellen?
Well, for me, it's 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But then it takes people longer to settle down into something. I mean, you have to explore. You have to try different things. You know, you may want to take a course, do volunteer work, you know, start building a resume so, you know, you can get in where you want to get in.
I would say simply to the listener, and you can correct me if you have a different spin, but that I think, you know, if you are solid and centered in your own heart and you conceptualize that you would really enjoy working for and you pick the company and the activity, you know, I think that you can land that job, because one of the things I'm aware of is that it is exquisitely difficult for employers to find high quality, competent, intelligent, reliable help.
Enthusiastic.
Absolutely, absolutely. They're telling me that we're out of time, Dr. Kellen. How can time go that fast? I am deeply grateful for your call. And
it's my pleasure.
Thank you much. I hope you'll consider coming back sometime.
Of course.
And we appreciate that, and I'll look forward to chatting with you in the near future, and thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good luck to everybody.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is Dr. Patrick Ware, and we're the Soulful Mind radio program. I would just like to remind you in closing that our next program will be on Friday, June the 1st at 2 p.m. And as you have heard before, thank you to Chet Atkins for your closing comments, or the closing song. We salute your discovery of what we like to call six-way love. May you, using your exercise, find your full acceptance of all of your heart, your divine gift of life and consciousness, as well as have the opportunity of allowing yourself to love another completely while letting them love you completely. That is truly heaven on earth. We believe God intended for us all to have that. God bless you. We look forward to hearing from you and talking to you on June the 1st at 2 o'clock. Goodbye.
Tune in to Soulful Mind every Friday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. right here on WGUN 1010 AM Atlanta.
tune in to Somebody Loves You every Monday through Friday, 3 to 3:30 p.m. right here on WGUN 1010 a.m. Atlanta, the station where God unites nations.
There's a new time for Power and Praise Radio with DJ Sundays, 7 p.m. to midnight on WGUN 1010 a.m. Atlanta.
Your community radio station.